I sing along to the music now. It's a new thing I do. This is the Film Drunk Frogcast that you're listening to right now, coming at you from the Frog Quarters in San Francisco. We've been off for a week, but we got the whole crew in the house.
Yay!
We got the irregular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
Marini!
We have
my catchphrase now.
Oh, you were asked to do a clean Marini.
Was I?
Yeah.
No, it's a clean...
Is it Percy?
Kerfy.
You need a clean Kerfy take.
Nice. I'll do it.
Do it.
Right now?
No,
well, it's not clean now.
Yeah, you gotta wait till the sound's done.
Yeah. And also, not like a performing monkey who will do whatever you say.
They type with their letters on the internet. You gotta do it.
Exactly that.
I am that.
We also got the human giant, Mr. Brendan.
Kerfy.
We're going to have Ben join us later via Skype. We saw the Sheik. Oh, also Brett's here.
Oh.
Hey.
Hi.
What's going on? Oh, you guys, Brett cried at Interstellar this week.
It was last week, all right?
That's beautiful that you did that.
Yeah.
Cried like a...
Like a fucking bitch.
You guys got a soundboard?
Where the fuck have you been?
I mean...
You're like half the soundboard.
I didn't know that was on the soundboard. All right.
There's a little bit of a delay, unfortunately.
Yeah, we got to fix that, but it's pretty good.
Yogurt.
I don't even remember saying yogurt.
Yeah, Chobani.
Well, yeah, I definitely said Chobani, but.
I spend a Chobani mean.
Oh, I'm great. I am just priceless.
Right, so Brett.
Yes.
Cried like a little bitch.
Like a tiny, like a small child. I held it in. Well, first of all, I went to the wrong movie. So
Which one did you go to?
I went to Theory of Everything because it's the suburban setup. It's not double doors going into the same theater on either side. It's double doors going into two separate theaters. Wow. So I sat through all the trailers for Theory of Everything. And then the title
came up. All about like disabled people? Was it a bunch of other disabled people?
It was more heartwarming than I would have thought, but not entirely out of context.
Like the Helen Keller documentary.
Yeah, it was still kind of science-y, so they're like, there's probably some nerds here. So I wasn't like, oh, this is definitely the wrong movie.
We're talking about the trailers. You didn't sit through all of Theory of Everything because I'm already here.
What are they going to space?
the title
the
came up.
The last 10 days with Lou Gehrig.
And just under my breath, I did the, God damn it, and then ran back into the hall.
Wait, so did you miss any of the beginning?
Yeah, so I jumped in when he was talking to, he had like a space flashback or something. I missed the part where he crashed, whatever he crashed.
Oh, I think the space flashback is like the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
it might have been. I think they were playing at the same time. So,
Did you think it was odd that they really didn't show the shape of the spaceship much? It was sort of like that one weird shot outside of the window, like with the wing, and you weren't...
I missed that part. I just told you. Like the one.
No, but I mean in the rest of the movie.
Regular spaceship?
It shows a bunch of that shit. It's all a little pointy disc.
Yeah.
Should we make Brendan leave? Because we're going to get into it pretty quick.
I wasn't going to make you go. I just wanted to hear how you cried.
Oh.
Because usually you don't cry.
I'm like a fucking stone cold killer. There's like three things that'll tear me up. It's knowing self-sacrifice.
Mm.
They do that in every action movie though.
Yeah, but like, but genuine stuff.
Yeah, like the Black Hawk Down gets me a little bit because those were real people going into a situation where they're probably going to die for like minimal returns. They're just like, cool, it's our job. Let's do it. And then Iron Giant.
I have not actually seen Iron Giant.
I wept like a child at the end of Iron Giant.
Yeah, it's just such a...
Well, now I really want to see that movie because, I love to cry.
Yeah.
But usually the knowing self-sacrifice, that'll do it. But along with like a litany of things that'll...
That should go in your Twitter bio.
Just what makes cry. You cry.
Oh, yeah. Cry. Just list all the movies.
Loves to cry.
Oh, just loves to cry. Yeah. Just so that they know. Just so all damn
6 foot tweeter six, glasses loves to cry.
Tweeter peace.
But yeah, no, I'm not. I'm emotionally unavailable for 90% of my life.
Yeah,
I've tucked all that empathy away in a place that no one can get to it, and then
they can't attack you. Yeah.
It's between his legs.
Yeah, it's where I keep it. It's under my ball.
Taped to his upper thigh.
Yeah, my left. Yeah. I tuck it under my left nut.
Your dick meat.
Yeah, hide it in the dick meat.
You gotta.
So I was fighting it pretty hard for the first couple of moments where I was like, oh, this is gonna be real. And then I just fucking just bawled, just like a baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great though.
It was real good. I felt awesome about the tears. Once I was in it by myself because that's how I see movies. When you see movies as a parent, you go alone.
There's a lot more pressure to not cry when there's someone with you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Totally.
I felt a lot of like societal pressure not to be the guy crying in Interstellar by himself who had to go. I almost sat in the front row and then I went up into like the one seat at the aisle.
Yeah.
Like the aisle ends at my seat.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was up at the very top and I was just like, don't be the guy who showed up late and started crying.
But then it's kind of like, it's kind of when you're trying to not laugh and it makes you laugh harder.
Yeah.
When you're in a movie trying to not cry by yourself you're like crying about the situation.
It was some tantric tears type shit where I was holding it back and I just spurt.
Did you actually?
There were physical tears. Yeah.
Wonderful. I want to see you cry so bad.
God, it's hot.
I just really want to see you just cry. Just emote in front of me.
It's weird. You think a fucking cockroach is going to explode out of his eyebrow or something. Yeah,
right. He just cries blood.
He cries spiders. He cries tiny little spiders.
Yeah. And then I did it twice. There were two points at which he's like the distance involved and like him being trapped watching things unfold.
Yeah.
They were very, and he does a good job. Like McConaughey sells it. Where I was like, I'm empathizing. And then like,
he kills it in that movie.
That was the distance. I was, never mind.
Is that what that song is?
He's going the distance.
He's going for speed. I remember like 3 weeks ago, I think I said that I don't think that Chris Nolan can do the thing that I want, which is like Sunshine done correctly.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, oh, here's the weight of the entire world on you, and here's all the ways.
He means
that
the movie Sunshine. I know.
The Danny Boyle
Christopher
movie.
Christopher Nolan to actually produce radiation.
No, I don't. I don't want him to become the sun itself. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think that he could pull it off given like his sketchy history with like gravitas.
Yeah.
Like, sure. I don't think he has a real grasp of like what he is doing. Like he definitely thinks he's always being important.
Yeah.
But sometimes he's totally not.
You're talking about Nolan?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But this was absolutely, I think, 80% exactly what I was looking for.
That like, thinking the fact you're that, important can really cut against you when you're making a Batman movie, but
yeah.
Yeah.
When you're making a movie about
wormholes, like the fact that she took like three steps in the wrong direction and then fucked them all. Like that, and then you have to watch it play out like how badly they all got fucked. I was like, that's actually almost exactly what I was looking for out of this movie.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
What, that's really getting fucked in entropy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it had some like
it's Brett's porn mag.
Some dubious parts, but
just people fucking, and then like the molecules of the universe just sort of.
It's a slow fade to absolute stillness,
and then after you're done crying spiders, you start.
The spiders have laughing. To go somewhere. Yeah.
You start laughing bed bugs.
Ha, 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 ha.
Bed bugs just pouring out your mouth.
The love speech gets a lot of shit, but I choose to believe that that's not the movie believing that. That's just her character.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of farts at the end of it.
Right. I don't think the movie believes. I don't care whether the movie believes it. It's just sort of a painful speech.
Yeah.
It's also, she's like, "Hey, I'm in love with this dude that's never been on camera or mentioned before the scene."
Yeah. I think there's enough of a room for interpretation there that I choose to believe that was the character, and that they sort of scoffed at her for even bringing that speech into the narrative world.
Yeah, they did though.
Yeah, they did.
He totally was just like, "Nah,
yeah,
we're not doing
or
that.
No,
yeah, yeah, or we're not doing that."
Yeah, yeah. I'm
Charlie.
Okay with it.
Also,
highly recommended. I also saw The Babadook, which is very, very good and similarly disturbing in ways you wouldn't expect.
Explain The Babadook. I mean, that's just got a great name, by the way.
Spectacular, and
like that's a name you don't forget. That's like a drumbeat,
like Bubba Hotep.
Yes, yeah. it's got a little like a thump to it, and it's very so it's about a child, like a child's nursery rhyme terror.
Mm.
It's Australian. It's a horror movie. And somebody, like, I've seen it recommended a few times.
Well, you got to watch out for that kid over there.
Yeah,
he's got.
He can't get rid of the Babadook.
He's got some fucking rhyme.
I'm from New Zealand. I can't do accents so good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, Murray present. Yeah. That's all I can do.
You gotta up the A's.
Yes,
but horror fans can't be trusted. I think I've said this before. Mm-hmm. That any fan of genre film should probably not be trusted to give you a recommendation unless they've been properly vetted.
Uh-huh.
Right.
This is like a psychological thriller. Reminded me a lot of Bug from the what did he do? Did he do The Omen or The Exorcist?
Oh no, man.
It's the guy from Killer Joe. What's that dude?
Friedkin.
Yeah.
He did The Exorcist.
Exorcist, thank you. It's very.
Who did The Omen?
Who what?
Who did The Omen? It was someone.
Spielberg. I don't know directors.
Was it me?
Did I make it? I saw it.
So. Let him talk about The Babadook. Damn it!
Yeah, go ahead.
It's hard to watch. The editing is very sharp and well done. Mm. It's like it feels like every scene is going to cut directly to your neck. Mm-hmm. And then the audio is like nails snapping, like your fingernails just like breaking on something hard.
Richard
like,
Donner yeah. did The Omen.
Oh, that's Lethal Weapon.
Yep.
Goonies. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Guys, let him talk about Bubba Hotep. So, Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, so there's a book, and the book has a scary monster in it, and the scary monster's got a top hat.
Okay.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah, and the house is lit in a terrifying way where it makes you feel like you're like quietly going insane with them.
Oh.
And it's a mother and her child, the father's dead, and a horrific car crash on the same day the child is born. And then that.
Nice.
Yeah. And so it just gets like tighter and tighter, and then it's very uncomfortable to watch, but in a good way.
Okay, so other current events.
Really fucking creepy.
Other current events
Eric
in the
Garner.
Past, like oh, no. 3 weeks. Well, there's that.
Okay. What were you going to talk about?
Well, I was going to go movies.
Okay. Yes.
So
we'll go movies. We'll come back to the
police brutality. Yeah.
Can we?
So, all right. Let's just talk about it. Whatever.
I just I meant like. I mean, so I just
should we not talk about it?
I just brought that stuff up because I'm like really fighting off some like oppressive world shearing depression.
Oh, all right.
Like, hey,
Stella's
good
I
and
saw.
Babadook is good and everything else is a fucking waking nightmare.
Now I know.
As a jujitsu dork, like when I'm watching that video, I like get angry that the guy like he wouldn't have killed the guy if he could do a fucking chokehold, right? First
right.
of all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but you're probably right about that.
Yeah,
I'm
you
sure
you
the
do it
cop
right, you don't crush
know.
Your windpipe. You just cut off his circulation. He goes to sleep. He
right.
doesn't have breathing problems.
It's the difference between the sleeper hold and murder, right?
Yeah.
Because like I've seen people put in the sleeper hold, and I'm like, how does that even work?
Yeah, it just cuts
isn't
off
that choking trotting, someone to death?
No, like,
cuts off your blood circulation, and you just fall asleep.
It's yeah. the pass-out game with two people.
Right. Yep. See, yeah.
yeah, that's true.
I didn't know that was
with
the pass-out
one consenting
game.
Party.
Every time I played the pass-out game, I just... choked someone
it's not
to
the
death.
Right way
I know.
To do it.
I did it wrong a lot of times.
You
I
get
didn't
a
know.
Lot of demerits for that.
I thought you just make them so they can't breathe mm-hmm. and then they pass out.
Right. And then you have sex.
Right. Wait, but that's a different game, apparently. Apparently right. you're supposed to make them sleep.
Anyway, I just think that we should get to a place as a society where when the cops kill someone who's unarmed, they at least like apologize for it.
No, they lose. We did this before. I don't want to do this again. We edited this out.
Okay.
It's real hopeless.
It'll make Brett mad.
Yeah.
All right. Let's not do it.
I barely made it through the last podcast. And this one started out so positive.
Well, this might make you hopeless too. So in the last 2 weeks, we've had Dumb and Dumber 2. There's new trailers for Jurassic Park. We got Star Wars. There is two competing Robin Hood projects. There's a Kickboxer remake with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Terminator.
There's the Terminator. There is...
Did I say the Jurassic?
I said Jurassic Park. Pauly Shore claims that there's an Encino Man sequel being discussed.
There's two competing Jungle Books coming out.
That's also true. Yep. I don't think that really fits into my...
trailers.
What I was going to say is that... I don't know if previous generations had to do this thing where they relive every fucking thing from their childhood.
Yeah,
or if
right.
That's just our stupid generation where they like.
I think
people get really excited about
if
it
if they had the technology to do so.
Yeah, I mean
and the fear of change. Really,
like I don't think we didn't have to sit through Taxi Driver 2 or like
yeah,
you know, Midnight like. Yeah, Noontime Cowboy.
There's like 100.
The Suits of Godfather 3.
Yeah, there's like 100 Nightmare on Elm Streets.
Yeah, but
that's horror.
Yeah, horror.
Are you saying the genre itself is
horror? Has always not.
But everything's kind of genre now. There's like superhero and superhero, and then there's like that one that's like superhero.
It just seems like any movie that can be remade or turned into a sequel will be remade or a sequel will be.
And people remade. Are still excited about it. That's the part I don't get.
That's the scary part.
The thing
part.
Is like for every 10 movies that where there's a sequel or a remake coming out, there is one that I'm like, oh my God, I cannot wait to see that.
But
what's
like
that
Jurassic
one now?
Park, they did like 4 Jurassic Parks.
Yeah, I'm not
the
excited
last few
about Jurassic
were terrible,
Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And some and
all,
somehow,
all of them except the first. And the first was a long time ago.
Yeah,
like they've tried this before and it's failed each time.
And they've, you know what? They did the same thing with Star Wars. They tried that, and yet I am so fucking pumped.
Oh, are you?
I am so pumped for Star Wars, but that's because I like J.J. Abrams, and I also like Star Wars a lot.
But doesn't
enough to forgive.
Let's not talk about Star Wars, but let's talk about J.J. Abrams for a second.
Okay.
Don't you feel like he makes a lot of the same movie?
You know what? I don't know enough about what he makes to say if that's true or not.
I don't know if that's true. I feel like I don't know. I liked the Star Wars first Star Trek movie.
Mm-hmm. As did I.
And then he made.
But start. And then the he Star made Trek the Two fucking, was the
what's
Superman
the one with the
movie.
Alien one.
Cloverfield.
No, the other one. The
Prometheus.
No, that's Ridley Scott.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The really dumb one that he wanted to make E.T. again.
I have no idea.
Super 8.
Super 8, yeah.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
That was just awful.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I feel like he's hit or miss. I don't know.
I always think Cloverfield and Super 8 are the same movie.
Yeah, I never saw Cloverfield.
I think he does really good shots. I thought the planes.
Yeah.
The X-Wings flying.
Oh, yeah. That was so rare.
Over the, like kind of looking like regular water. Like, I thought that was a nice little shot. And the Millennium Falcon, like, chewing. Over the thing?
I
like those shots.
Let me tell you what I'm excited for. It's not so much that I am expecting like the greatest movie ever made, uh-huh. but I'm excited for a competent Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I hate the idea that people are still excited about Star Wars, but at the same time, it could finally prove the fact that, you know, those prequels, those should have been really easy. Like,
yeah,
that was
right.
a fucking, slam dunk.
You're looking for a workaday blue-collar Star Wars movie.
Like, yeah, just do like, Star Wars
the,
again.
Yeah, here's the plot points. Here's a little alien doing a dance.
I've seen fan fiction shorts that were more entertaining than the prequels. And, like... this should be so easy for him. All it has to be is competent. All it has to be is semi-interesting.
And not a further hollowing of the fucked out cavern that is that canon.
Right, yeah.
Like, if you add three new things, you get credit for just not... Like, when that guy wrote his little letter...
yeah.
Which guy?
Some dickbag on the internet was
Star
like, here's
Wars
what you gotta
should
do.
Be dirty. Like, it's a Western in space.
I don't want it. Like, he's basically saying, make the same movie, make me feel the same way. Yeah. And I'd rather see a lens reflecting the way you felt.
Right. Yeah.
And
this,
J.J. Abrams could probably handle.
I wanted to see your stupidity rubbed in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I'm going to see it. And I don't want to talk shit on it for it being Star Wars, but it being Star Wars in the hands of a larger corporation that's just hey, fuck it, we'll make the same movie over and over. It's like, hey, there's some camaraderie, there's a brief interlude, there's a MacGuffin, there's a switcheroo on the villain, and then the portal has to be closed. Like, I don't want to see that movie anymore.
I just want it to be entertaining.
Oh, and the city has to be destroyed.
No lasers pointing at the ground or the earth.
Yeah, right before the portal closes, the entire city needs to be destroyed, not showing any deaths. Just like, oh, probably car fell on him.
That all sounds so good. Should make a movie. I don't know what you're talking about. Everything you said sounds like a great movie that I would see.
I think it's funny that George Lucas, you know, most people that they get a bunch of money, they retreat into, like, they want to do something weird and artsy. You know, they want to do like Francis Ford Coppola. He wants to do his weird like art movies.
And Spielberg wants to make a movie for his grandkids.
Right.
Like, he's like, I want to tell stories to like two generations below me.
And then, but then George Lucas, did you see the trailer for his movie that he wrote? They basically kicked him off Star Wars. They're like, all right, George, like, no more fucking gophers, no more Jar Jar Binks. Like, please stop. You're terrible. Get out of here.
I was looking. He's not even. He's like barely in the. He has one credit for the
story
whole movie.
Credit.
Yeah. So great
because he created the characters. But so then he made this movie where he co-wrote it. And it's called Strange Magic, and it's a kids musical based on A Midsummer Night's Dream. That's also a jukebox musical.
Wow. Killer.
I thought he was like he got kind of slow in his old age, but then he did that thing where he tried to expand Skywalker Ranch, and like the ultra rich Marinanites were like, no, there's going to be a bunch of noise. So he's like, cool, I'll put low income housing there.
Yeah, that was
instead.
Pretty baller.
Yeah, that was like, that was a good troll. Like a, that's like a competent evil mastermind movie.
But most people in their old age are like, I want to make an art film. George Lucas is like, I want to make more toys that also sing popular songs that are free for us.
Wow. Good for him, you know?
Yeah.
He's living his dream, so that's the important thing. I mean, whether or not it's going to be good is almost irrelevant.
Here's another guy who's living his dream.
From the fat man himself. When I was a kid, yes, that's right, get ready for a fucking anecdote. You're like, Jesus, this chatty, fatty fucking piece of shit. I got it. There's no way for me to do this without telling you a story, man. Here's how I feel.
Can we not do this?
Is this Kevin Smith? Yeah. Oh, I knew
I already apologized to him. I don't want
to. Just listen to how long it takes him to make a point now.
Don't make me rescind my apology. Force Awakens
88-second teaser, whatever the fuck. As I was sitting there in the El Cap watching it on the big screen, I remembered very specifically a memory. My parents, mom and dad, Grace and Don, taking me to see a re-release of Star Wars in early 1979 slash maybe late 1978.
This is a good story. Who else was there? Who else was there at the theater? Was Carl there? Was Carl having a good time?
He doesn't say "and shit" anymore, though.
Yeah, I was sort of waiting for him.
That's probably hard. Hey,
he actually sounds different. He sounds like he's like reached some sort of cigarette Rubicon, where his voice is permanently changed.
As someone with a lot of annoying verbal tics, that's a lot of hard work to not do your drop back. Right?
Because they were attaching a trailer for The Empire Strikes Back. Now, nobody had ever seen anything about The Empire Strikes Back. No footage. There was no, you know, fucking internet. We had no internet then, kids. We barely had any fucking common sense, to be honest with you. But we certainly couldn't go home. That was not an option. I'm going to go home and watch this trailer. We had to kind of make do with going to see it in the theater. I remember my parents being like,
"God!" And I wore an onion on my belt, which was the style at the time.
You gotta keep the vampires away. We had a lot more vampires back then.
He does speak the truth. If the internet has brought us one thing, it's common sense.
We paid our way through the theater with logs. We had to chop down ourselves. You had to cut them into little tiny slivers, and you'd get splinters in your fingers. And it was like, is this really worth it? I don't know. But the movie was great because it was a raccoon.
Crazy, you've seen this movie a bunch. I said, yeah, but I've never seen this trailer. And this movie is my religion. You know, I said that to parents who put me in a Catholic school and stuff. Kind of try to set the tone early in life. They're like, take your God.
Wait. This is a good bingo game. Like,
didn't say that.
Okay, so what do you think?
Yeah, that happened.
What do you think the point of this story? What's the rub going to be of this story?
I think this is him reacting to the new Star Wars trailer.
It's going to be some sort of like street cred. Like, I had to convince my parents to take me to a movie I'd seen a million times to see the trailer, and now you kids can just open up a new tab and see the new trailer.
No. I think he felt the same way watching the trailer on the internet that he did in the theater with Don and
Grace. Don and Grace's parents.
That's what I was going to say, but then I was looking at Vince's face while Brett was saying it, and now I'm changing my answer to... It's a mixture of both of theirs.
Well, I just feel like he wouldn't have talked about the theater.
Bold choice.
I feel like he wouldn't have talked about the theater so much and going to the theater and having seen the movie multiple times if he wasn't setting us up for
this is a long complaint about not getting the big screen experience?
Not necessarily not the big screen experience, but like I had to put in work. Wait. You kids of today are lazy.
Tangentially, speaking of the big screen experience, while I was bawling my eyes out, having a real emotional moment, partially due to the soundtrack, which I loved, where it's too noisy to hear what they're saying in the cockpit and then cuts hard to silence. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. This motherfucker next to me is like this greasy, fat old man sitting there, has smuggled in two bags, full-size bags of Lay's potato chips.
They say family size. You don't even have a family, sir.
And as it cuts to silence, he takes a handful of these fucking chips and shoves it into his mouth as and I've got the salt streaks down my face, and I turn to him and I and he look, we make eye contact in the theater as I'm
it feels so bad.
He had salt streaks on his mouth. Yeah,
that is
the chips.
Me.
Yeah.
That is me in theaters.
Yeah, I know, and I felt bad too, because like this is probably his night out or whatever, and who the fuck smuggles a whole bag of potato chips in? I felt bad for like animal sounding him. But then when old Captain What's His Face shows up in the cryo tank and he's like, "Oh, this guy?" I'm like, "Come on, fuck you."
This vein pops out of Brett's temple when he does that, and it's horrifying.
Okay, so like, finishing up Kevin
Smith. I'm like, Tetsuo.
The Kevin Smith trivia game, or the Kevin Smith story game.
Sorry, guys. So let's be quiet for the next 20 minutes.
So we got one vote for it made me feel the same way as when I saw that, and one vote for you kids have it easy.
Yeah. And one vote for both.
The boldest, boldest
Matt shows up to the polling place and just covers the ballot in black ink.
I think everybody's
everyone's
good.
A winner.
Can I put a participation ribbon in the book?
I vote for democracy.
I just want to be right.
My God, is George Lucas. That panned out. So the sitting there in the theater watching this, I was really taken right back to that moment. I remember sitting there watching
that. Oh, it's Brett!
Yes!
Yes! The trailer for The Empire Strikes Back and being, you know, electrified, being overjoyed.
Okay,
you know,
Alan, can we stop?
Cynicism and crap comes along.
Oh, no, you forgot the part where he's gonna rail against cynicism.
We're only halfway done.
I want to hear. Let's hear him out, guys.
I've won, but I've also lost.
Let's hear him out.
Fat middle-aged man. Goes away in the face of this trailer. At least it did for me.
Destroys cynicism.
The best thing I could say about it is it took me
cynicism
back to that
is
moment.
The real Death Star, and you got to shoot it right in the little turret.
You literally just said it took me back to my youth.
I think there's also...
There, by the way, that was less than half done.
I wish
with
you...
that video.
Holy shit. I think there's a distinction that needs to be made where I do understand there's some people who just their natural... they revert to cynicism immediately. We do it fairly often. I like to think that I don't want to go there.
Cynicism
all the time.
Is a healthy. Sorry, go ahead.
But let me finish. But how could you not be 100% cynical going into that trailer after the last three pieces of shit that got dropped on us?
Yeah.
Also, it's Disney. Like
they've got a larger plan, and the larger plan doesn't benefit anyone but Disney.
A huge corporation that makes like almost everything that anybody talks about has bought Star Wars, put a new director in it, and we're not supposed to be cynical about that.
Yeah,
if you're not cynical about things, you're a fucking idiot. Like I have no patience for people.
Here's the terrifying thing about.
Don't be so cynical. All we get fed is crap. You're supposed to be cynical.
Yeah. Here's the terrifying thing about Disney is they are absolutely 100% listening to the fans. The fans should not be in charge of anything. The reason
they should
that
not
fans
be listened to,
and not, yeah.
They should not be acknowledged.
Yeah. They should be thanked. When they like your stuff, they should absolutely be thanked.
Disingenuously thanked.
Yes. Yes. Smugly. As smugly as you can muster. Just be honestly, like, hi.
I would
thanks,
say this
guys.
The new director and Disney, and I hate Disney, make me way less cynical than having sat through what probably 8 hours of total movie.
We laughed. Right. We laughed through part of it. We saw the last one together, and it was pretty funny.
No,
oh, sad robot.
That was great.
Yeah.
I don't really remember the last one.
Yeah,
love can't save you, Padme. Only my new powers can do that. That is a quote from that movie.
Oh, whenever you say something, I just assume it's a direct quote.
Yeah,
that is a direct quote.
You've earned that trust.
Like, yeah,
we're
no,
just gonna believe.
Ride with me, Padme.
It's like really,
or my pleasure.
If you do
down
a
to the word,
if you do a voice, we are going to believe that you are directly quoting someone with that exact voice.
As bad
voice.
As that movie was, I remember it as like the one where something actually happened.
Yeah.
Like, shit actually happened in that movie.
Yeah. I don't remember the middle one is a total blank.
The middle one's really bad.
I remember the middle one because it had the pod race that seemed like it went on for an hour and a half.
The first one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Kidding me?
The cartoon was really good. Genndy Tartakovsky one. Mm-hmm. That was the best thing
the
to come out of that.
The second one was the one with the climactic battle where Natalie Portman gets half her top ripped off.
Yeah, that's the second one.
Why all the Jedis get...
Which one is the one where his hand comes off and they have like a wedding in a field with his fake hand made of clothes hangers?
That's the end of the second one, right?
End of the second one, yeah. I don't remember how he loses his hand, though.
Why does
right. He loses his whole arm.
He gets it shoved so far up her pussy.
Yeah, right. He fists her and he loses
his
hand. So
why did her top come off?
A big monster like clawed her. She's like, and it's like,
yeah. It's, all of a sudden, she has a midriff.
Turns a shirt and like the
no,
halter
come on.
Top. Yeah,
where was the monster?
And there's a great scene.
Remember, they put him in the big arena.
Are they on pillars? Are they on pillars?
And then pillars.
Yeah.
And then, like all the Jedi are in there.
Wow. All right, that's a glowing review of the middle Star Wars. As Brett remembers, there were pillars.
Yeah. I remembered that he had a fake hand that looked like clothes hangers.
Yeah,
that was the extent of my. I was like, they had a weird wedding in a meadow, and it was gay, and he had a hand.
He had like a janky, this predates Luke Skywalker's realistic fake hand.
Right.
He had this like, it was kind of like burgundy colored.
Yeah.
It was the color of a shitty car, you know? You're like, aw.
It was strangely bad CG.
Chrysler Plymouth.
He had like a fucking Chrysler LeBaron on the end of his wrist. Yeah. Like all rusty.
Yeah. Yeah, the CG was weirdly bad. I remember just thinking, like, I think we can do better than this right now.
There were so many jokes made. Like, South Park did a pretty good job of... well, actually, their whole joke is about the original trilogy with, like,
oh, yeah,
Lucas just, like, pasting a bunch of shit in the back. It's like, he just, like, photoshopped something. He was like, clone.
Yeah.
Just, like, kept making it.
It's so big. Look at all these people. Look how big the army is.
I guess he literally did that. But, yeah, I mean, it was just ridiculous because there was a clone army. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't one of the NSYNC guys one of the clones?
Every background, there's like 400 things happening in the background. You're like, all right.
Wasn't Joey Fat One in the...
No, I heard he was supposed to be, but I don't remember it actually.
Did he change his name to Joey Fat One?
It's spelled Fatone.
Yeah,
but he's the fat one, right?
It spells Fat One.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's not really fat.
It works on a lot of levels.
It does. Well, two.
Well, yeah, two. Approximately.
Well, are you counting the clone army?
More than one level.
It's three.
Yeah, second one was really bad. The third one,
we're talking about Star Wars.
I'm okay with that. I tried my best to like the third one.
This is what podcasts do.
Dooku again? Was that Christopher?
He's the robot. He's like, woo, woo, woo.
No, that was General Grievous.
Yeah, Count Dooku was Christopher Lee.
Yes, Christopher Lee. Yeah,
Count
Dooku.
I love Brett sound effect.
And the beginning of Star Wars Episode 3 was dope when he cuts off Count Dooku's head. Spoiler alert.
He had all the swords from all the dead Jedi.
That was General Grievous.
That was Grievous. You're thinking about
he's
Grievous.
The robot, right? He has they punched him in the throat.
Yeah, he's a robot who kind of has the Force.
Neat.
Yeah. I will say the double-sided or Darth Maul's costume was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, that. Darth Maul was what made.
I remember seeing the trailer and being like, "Holy shit, this is going to be amazing!"
Yeah, yeah. Well, because like that
and
was
the
super
scenes that they were in, but those were cool. Those were some good fight scenes.
Yeah, you think he walks around going like, "My part was good." Like he probably does. I mean, I'm sure he does.
That's the same guy who played Toad. That's what's his name? The guy who played Toad in X-Men and
he's like a gymnast or something.
Yeah,
he's a
stuntman,
right?
He's a stuntman. Ray Park.
Ray Park. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he was so good.
He's not quite at the level of Ron Perlman, but he has that same thing where he's in a lot of movies, always with like a mask or a thing on his head or like a helmet.
Yeah. What do you think Andy Serkis is going to be in this new one though?
It's going to be he's the ball that rolls.
Yeah. He's this little soccer droid. Was that?
What the fuck was the soccer ball droid?
It doesn't matter. It was a cool droid.
Was it really?
I bet it's hilarious. You don't even know. I bet it's the funniest. It's going to do so many funny things. And you're going to be thinking like, Matt was right. It is funny.
I was wrong about you, soccer droid.
Yeah. You're going to laugh at it. And we're all going to laugh. And it's going to be one of those characters you remember. And you're going to tell your kids about.
Do you want to go see Star Wars together?
I am so down to see Star Wars.
Put it on the calendar a year from now.
We should live fraud it and just talk.
Shout in the movie theater. I don't know if I like this part.
I'm still liking it. Curfee.
Vince can bring his computer and just bang on the keys.
My way.
I'm crying now. It's working. I want to see it super bad, but that's because I know it's going to be a competent movie. It's not going to be shitty movie.
I don't buy in for a workaday Star Wars.
I don't trust J.J. Abrams' artistic choices, but I trust him. I trust his technical competence.
Yeah. I think Harrison Ford's going to do like, so
to
old
show up and just fuck things up.
Already work around the clock.
Is he in it?
Yeah.
Harrison Ford's
Mark
in it.
Mark Hamill's in it.
That's a great callback.
Oh, thanks.
Harrison Ford, really?
Yeah. They're all in it.
Nobody says that. I think enough anymore.
Already work around the clock.
they're gonna have like a couple of scenes. I think
the worst thing that movie did was just advertise heavily during football, and no one saw it. But everyone just knows that line. It's our generation's answer to, give me back my son.
Yeah, man, I think it's gonna be so good.
So anyway, all the things being sold back to us.
He'll kick General Grievous off the Millennium Falcon and go,
get off of my plane. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
So I definitely don't think the previous generation dealt with this to the same extent. And I don't know if the one after us will. Like, I think they figured out that we're such fucking children that.
Yes.
Like reminding us of our stupid childhood that was like 10 years ago is fucking.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a big part of us being giant baby pussies.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah. We're just like a shitty baby pussy generation. That's why we can't handle shit. And we're
just a generation of people going, I remember
Bill and Ted.
Yeah. Well, wait a second. I think a lot of it has to do, too, with the fact that they're trying to get people to go to a movie theater, too. You can't, because I'm not going to go to a movie theater for most movies now.
But the thing that's weird is...
But they're doing a great job with that with some movies. Like, Gravity was awesome and screen worthy and Interstellar awesome.
Yeah, but it's. I feel like it's pretty rare to just make a movie that people go see in theaters and in the numbers that they will go see any of these other movies.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like,
The Crow also is coming back.
Oh, Jesus.
Are you fucking kidding me? The Crow? The Crow wasn't a good movie.
No, I always thought The Crow was kind of stupid.
Yeah, it was super stupid.
I don't understand. I think it's because Brandon Lee died. Of course you like
The Crow. Yeah, you did. He fucking loved The Crow. Just eyelinering it up. Yeah. God, it's so sick. I'm just going to fucking ninja. Just ninja clown.
It can't rain all the time.
Wait, I'm going to take the fratrarian opinion here.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say that, I mean, nostalgia, we did not invent nostalgia.
No, we didn't. No. True.
Yeah. But we're being
someone
sold
figured
it.
Out how to sell it to us better.
They've refined the apparatus of insertion.
I mean, I'll say this, like during the 80s, everything was set in the 50s. So like there was definitely nostalgia for the time period. Like there was a ton of shit in the 80s. There's like American Graffiti and all that sort of stuff that was like, oh, remember how awesome the 50s were?
The
like,
desire,
Back to the Future, all 50s.
Yeah. The desire is the same, but the mechanism of reintegration is like sophisticated.
He actually created a movie that was a new movie called Back to the Future to remind you of the 50s.
Yeah.
Now we just be like, hey, remember Back to the Future?
Yeah.
I guess I just feel like I remember growing up and feeling like ashamed that I did not grow up in New York in the 1950s.
Right.
And
the
our popular media was such to make you feel like there was this like enlightenment. It's just the same nostalgia bullshit being sold to people, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I always say when we talk about sports writers. I'm always like, and some like old cranky sports writers getting mad at like a Latin baseball player or like a black football player.
Yeah.
You know, like some guy who plays for, I don't know, the fucking Cincinnati Bengals, and some guy's like getting all mad and high and mighty. I'm like, yeah, he's secretly kind of mad that he didn't play for the New York Yankees in 1957.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, one thing that has gotten better is I remember being jealous that, like growing up, being jealous that I didn't have like a mall that everyone went to, because everything in the fucking 80s was all about like, oh, let's go to the mall. The mall's so cool. Isn't the coolest place ever, the mall?
You guys didn't have a mall?
Yeah, that sucks.
not in Reedley. You had to like go to Fresno to the mall, man. Oh. That was a long way away.
Oh, man.
But brutal. So then I saw some photo.
You guys don't have like super awkward memory? Like you didn't just black out the mall part of your, because that's like before you can go to movies and get handies.
Uh-huh.
But like, after the point where you know you should probably be working on getting a handy.
Yeah.
So you're just like in this phase where you don't know how to talk to girls.
Yeah, and you're just in
but
the
like,
mall.
But it's just like, you and your four friends just sort of standing there hoping someone else will say something.
And then eventually you go to Johnny Rockets.
Hey, you're Julie, right? Brett said, he wanted to
have a boner.
Hand job. Oh, Brett, shit.
Brett says,
anyway,
so as bad as nostalgia is, at least we're not like constantly.
But this is
constantly glorifying the idea of hanging out.
But this isn't a problem with a younger generation. This is absolutely our problem. Like we are the ones buying the schlock. Like we are the ones failing by buying into this.
We're probably failing by not going to movies that aren't like original ideas. Like that. Maybe that's because I went to. I don't know how many movies I went to actually into a theater to see this year.
Don't make it Exodus, whatever you do.
Oh, I'm not going to go see Exodus.
No one's going to see... Oh, wait, no.
Oh,
you saw Exodus?
Now that's nostalgia.
Yeah.
Hey,
woo! That brings me back.
Back in my day, the oceans were ghosts.
he had to
sweep frogs off your lawn because you were a sinner.
He somehow
God
made...
nutted into his hand and threw it into the dirt.
Yeah,
that happened.
Yeah, it's a man. Because he's doing like the, it's like a quick chop because you got to fling it.
Yeah,
you got it because it's sticky.
Well,
so he's like,
it was like this ancient interpretation of the Bible or something like that. And I remember reading about it in my Western Civ class in college.
Wait, what?
Well, there was actually like the passage was like God copulated with his hand and threw his seed into the dirt. And I was like, man,
no,
it's weird. They're just talking about God jerking it.
I've done that.
Uh-huh. Nothing grew there except some mold.
Yeah.
Okay. But what if it does?
There's a little, there's a little, there's a Lieb turnip somewhere.
mad I am your spawn.
Kill me. Kill me.
Choke me.
Choke me in my minivan. Spit in my face.
That's your natural state is growing in the dirt.
My existence is testament to your failure.
So the movie was actually...
really good.
They made it about as... dull and inscrutable as the Old Testament, which I thought was impressive.
Yeah, that's his grandpa naming like a motherfucker.
So
my grandpa was so and so. His grandpa.
I'm gonna spend the next 5 minutes talking about who begat whom. So grab a comfy seat
and like one line about the jerking off part.
Yeah,
and then it's all father fucking after that. Just hide your dad in a cave and fuck him.
So the funny part is the Exodus. If you read the Exodus story. I mean, it makes no logical sense because God's like, I'm going to free you by putting some plagues down. And then I'm going to part the sea. And you're like, if you can part the sea and like make frogs rain from the sky, can't you just maybe just set us free like in the first place? What the fuck is all
just
the...
make there's a lot of holes in the Bible.
The one good thing that I actually did like about Exodus is they made God a small emo British boy.
What?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Like the burning bush is actually this little boy.
Hello.
Hello.
Why you want to be free?
Wait, really?
Yes, really.
I'm on fire.
It's an interesting choice.
So I guess if there's one way to explain the completely fickle nature of God in the Old Testament, where God is kind of like an arbitrary prick, like, oh, maybe he's just a little boy and he's like playing with rocks, and you're like, that's actually a really good idea. Kind of makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, actually, now I'm coming around. I'm 100%
buying in on that. That's a really good idea. Yeah. And he's just like, I don't know, man, like angels got like 100 wings. The better ones got more wings and they can see right through you.
Picks up two action figures. Now kiss.
Sorry, I set this bush on fire. I'm bad.
The idea of God
got his magnifying glass.
Also, everyone's dead. I pour water on you.
He's got his magnifying glass up to a bush, and then he's like, he's on in a trench coat on somebody's shoulders, being like, "Hey, you should draw some stuff."
Just jerking off.
It's raining frost now.
Just jerking off the dirt.
Killing all the firstborns is pretty great.
Don't worship anyone.
I love that like the Jews were like his hero toy, and then he got tired of the Jews around 1939, and it was like, I'm done with those toys.
I've outgrown this.
Yeah, that's interesting way of looking at it.
So, so the movie, it was kind of like if, you guys never saw Noah, did you? So Noah was pretty good.
That's
because,
the one with Russell Crowe, right?
Right. Noah was pretty good because it was Darren Aronofsky actually like... trying to make the Noah story make sense and work for him, like, trying to understand God through the Noah story, and like you can tell he's like jumping through these like ridiculous logical hoops, you know, and like doing this
an exercise in consistency,
right? Mm-hmm. So he's doing all this like rhetorical gymnastics to try and make it make sense. And Ridley Scott took the Exodus story, and he's just kind of like, I don't know, God said that, dude. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I just thought I put
trust the source material.
And dude, he said, I don't know, there was frogs. I don't know why there was frogs. Frogs doesn't make any sense to me, but dude, the frog showed up one day, and there was some crocodile. I don't think there was crocodiles in the Bible, was there?
I'm sure there was a lot of crocodiles.
I mean, they lived on the Nile.
Yeah, that's true. Crocs. There are crocs in the Nile.
I mean, I don't actually know that there are crocs in the Nile, but that sounds right.
So basically, now I know. Noah was a Aronofsky, like.
Because I got bit by one.
All right. I'll take that.
Noah was Darren Aronofsky struggling to understand the nature of God, whereas Exodus was just Ridley Scott being like, I don't know, man. God went nuts.
Yeah, I guess.
Shit, if I know. And then at the end of the movie, this fucking terrible movie that's like as dull as reading the Bible.
Well, I already know what happens at the end.
Right. No, but you don't know. This is some of the liberties that he took with the story. It fades to black and it says, for my brother Tony. And you're like, oh, he's dedicating this like the worst movie he ever made to his dead brother.
Yeah, that's not the ending I thought would happen.
What is
you thought
end?
Jesus would pop out and this is like act two.
No, he doesn't believe in Jesus.
No.
What?
Yeah, I don't believe in Jesus.
How do you... What?
I don't believe he
did you stop reading the Bible halfway through?
Yeah, I just stopped.
Oh, okay.
I actually stopped
it's called
in the
Torah.
Yeah, I stopped in the middle of Genesis, and I said, this is a bad book.
I got halfway through Genesis, too. Yeah.
I was like, day three, and some shit happened. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I don't even really care about
it. Is a shit ton of who begat who. It's like...
Exodus is all just...
It's like reading the Silmarillion.
It's very Tolkien-esque.
Yeah. When did they get into Movement of Jah People?
Well, yeah, what?
Huh.
Exodus. Yeah, all right. I was
Jesus
wondering.
Fucking
I just listened to the song.
Exactly.
awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
What? Why'd I go to the movie?
Yeah.
I don't. It was plan, mainly.
Was
That's
it
my only reason?
Was it? Did you have any good food in the theater?
Yeah. Oh, actually, they did give us candy.
See,
that's, which is rare. They usually don't give snacks out at the press.
But they're meeting. Like, you're going to need to entertain yourself somehow.
They really did. Yeah, wow. It was free candy, Twix, and
isn't that kind of like, you know, electioneering a little bit though?
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't help.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The movie
it didn't work.
Less boring. Yeah. Let me tell you. Yeah. Also, it was 3D. I feel like, is it just me? But like. About an hour and a half into every 3D movie, I have to take my glasses off and my like eyes are watering and my head hurts.
It's because it's your feelings?
No, it's like my eyes are all hurt.
No, yeah, because it hurts.
Was the 3D touching you in a way that you had not expected?
My problem with the 3D is that if I take the glasses off and I see that just a little bit of brightness is, you know, because like they're a little bit tinted.
Right.
Then I get really annoyed that... The movie is so dark when I put them back on, and I can't get over that. They need to brighten up the movie.
Well, that's the big drawback of 3D.
I thought you were gonna say you take off the glasses and you see the world as it is.
Yeah, and right. And I go, this is fake. It's like They Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a waste of money.
We should watch They Live for the Frogcast.
Yeah,
that is like
I would be I'm down.
Stupid yet amazing movie.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it's like a 12-minute fight scene,
dude. Oh my god!
They should remake
They Live. Let's remake it.
Didn't they do that yet?
We should do that. We could make so much money. I'm just saying we could.
Oh no!
Like my parents were not there. Well, my dad's dead, so
is that why you couldn't remember?
Can I ask? Is he putting on that fake accent for fun?
He's been doing this fake folksy shtick for about 5 years now.
Wow.
Kevin Smith.
That was Kevin Smith again.
What? That was?
Yeah.
That does not sound like it. The last time I heard Kevin Smith talk, he was
fucking
going,
shit, a couple urns spread around the world. But my mom, she's fine. She's not.
She full. Almost. But my mom.
Sitting there in the El Cap watching this trailer.
I know. That's because that folksy shtick is not a real thing.
That's weird.
I don't know if you would expect anything better from a man who solely wears hockey jerseys.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he's just going to pick up an accent and just run with it.
Brett, you said
hockey jerseys. I'm sorry. I don't need to pick on him.
Yeah, Brett, you said you apologized to him
recently?
I did.
So while you were gone, I panicked. Uh-huh. Like, just freaked out.
All right. I'm your totem. That's tight.
Yeah, you're my power animal.
All right.
So I didn't know what we were going to talk about because I don't really like Vince that much.
Uh-huh, totally.
So I wrote a bunch of stuff down, and one of them was the petty zoo, where I apologized for all the times I was mean to someone who probably didn't deserve it.
Like Vince just now?
Did you call it the petty zoo?
Yeah, isn't it good?
Yeah.
That was my best one. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really proud of that.
Brendan liked it.
That's good.
Because
it's so,
yeah,
so petty.
Yeah, the apology was that Kevin Smith seems like kind of adult.
Uh-huh.
But
his apology is going great.
Yeah, so far, so good.
But he's trying. It's a great insult. He's trying his small-armed hardest. And he's just flailing around with his little, like,
his little
hands.
T-Rex arms. It's true.
And he's making stuff that's at least authentic to his dumb self. And I don't think
I don't think he is, though.
No,
I think he
believes wholeheartedly in his dumb little mission. And I don't think you should be openly mocked by me for believing in something, even though it's dumb. Mm. When there are so many people out there making stuff cynically and in a mean-spirited way to target the people who would like dumb stuff.
Oh yeah, so like the ones who are victimizing people.
Yeah, I think you need.
He kind of victimizes his fans though a little bit.
I come down like a god. Uh-huh. like a swift acting axe
god. Chucking frogs at him.
Like I am a god. I am the god.
No, he says, I am the god.
I am the god. I am the god.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Yeah. So I'm like that. And I'm throwing crocodiles. And I don't think I need to throw crocodiles at people who aren't openly malicious.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's nice of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I should be praised for my acceptance of his dumb little rituals.
All right. Well, now you've changed it. But
I am fickle and cruel like an emo British boy.
You are God.
Do you believe in God?
You are God. I am the devil.
We're going to get Ben on the line. You guys happy about that?
Yeah.
Yay.
Ben.
Wait, was he supposed to release the best of?
No. Did he?
Yeah, it's out on the wild.
Already?
He leaked it.
Yeah, he leaked it before he got the chance to
Ben,
edit
you
it.
Leaked the best of already?
It's leaked, bro.
Why did you do that?
You're supposed to let him edit it.
You didn't tell me.
You're supposed to provide feedback.
I didn't know that.
Well, who's supposed to edit it? First of all,
he wanted feedback. He didn't want it to leak yet.
Happy Bon Jovi Friday to all of you.
Bon Jovi Friday.
Is there a holiday?
Wait, is there a holiday?
It's Bon... What? It's
Thursday.
Do you not remember the Exicles?
Yeah, but there's a holiday. You got to have a holiday to have a Bon Jovi Friday.
I thought it was just any time that the boss is gone on Friday, you have a Bon Jovi Friday on Thursday and you party.
Well, yeah, but we don't know if our boss... Maybe your boss is gone.
Wait, is our boss gone?
Who's our boss?
Is it Brendan?
My own boss.
He's gone tomorrow.
Except for my other boss.
Gary and Fremont's your boss, bro.
Yeah. The people of the Bay Area are my boss.
Hi, this is Gary and Fremont.
Hi, this is Gary from Fremont.
First of all, I don't believe in...
In bosses.
This is Gary from Fremont. I'm not scared of ghosts.
Oh, today someone called in and yelled at me because I deserved it. So the mother or the grandmother of Eric Garner said about the apology that she got, I could care less about the apology. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I couldn't care less about it. And then we got into a discussion about that.
Wow, you semanticed up the grieving mother.
I just was like in the middle of it. I just said it.
It was a tangent. You weren't criticizing her.
No, I wasn't. And then someone called and said that I should be ashamed of myself. And I was like, that's fair. That's actually fair.
Yes.
It really takes the fun
I've always
of
thought it is
Matt
interesting Lee. The way that saying has become I could care less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which...
It doesn't work.
It doesn't make any...
No,
probably,
it doesn't.
Probably not like the most important issue
But then you say, I couldn't care less, and people are like, no, it's, I could care less.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. And it doesn't work on the same level as like a literally meaning figuratively now, because at least when you say something...
That's worse.
No, I don't think
you
so.
You can't reverse the meaning of a word.
No, but...
And then
but
put it in the place
but
of
you
the
can.
Word. That's malicious, my friend.
No,
that is complete
that is
and total diametric opposite of what it used to mean.
I am not a semantic monger. I do not pride myself on mm-hmm. the selling of the importance of distinctions.
Right.
Like, I'm all about context.
Yeah.
But you cannot have context completely undermine the original meaning of a thing.
I absolutely think you can. No, here's the thing about it. It's like, at least
relativist.
At least with, at least with like saying literally, now it's just like a dumb way of adding emphasis. The way, you know, bad means good. Like, there's, I think there's no problem with that. I think that's
not
that. It is that.
No, bad means good is an intentional switcheroo.
So, no, literally is an intentional switcheroo.
No one meant to do that.
No, I think some young people.
We have allowed this.
No, we know some young people who used it incorrectly, but I guarantee you there were people out there knowingly saying literally in an ironic way, like, I'm literally going to kill you. And you just knew it meant figuratively,
yes.
But it's funny because
absolutely.
He said literally.
Yes.
Whereas like, I could care less actually completely loses its meaning because semantically it's incorrect.
So it
I'm
was
just,
literally.
Look, what I'm saying uh-huh. is, and I think this is important, between Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, the meaning of heinous has completely flip-flopped.
In
12 slides.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Before,
that's true.
Heinous, was it good? It was
No, it was bad.
It was bad in the first one. And then non-heinous became bad in the second one.
On purpose?
I don't who fucking knows. It's all fucking up for grabs because of people like you.
All right, listen. I'm just saying it's... all right.
Spilling your bile on the radio. Just like, I don't know, maybe words don't mean anything.
Matt, are you an on-air talent at Talk 9?
You can't say it. You can't say it.
Talk 9.
Talk 9.
It's just Talk 9. No, it's Talk 910.
Talk 9.
No, I know. I'm
calling Talk 9 Radio.
Turn into 9.
9.
Turn your dial to 9. It's between 7 and 0.
You'll find it eventually. Keep going up.
Just past 8. You hit 9? 1. You gone too far.
Like it resets. It's a circular.
I didn't want to say what it was before because
nine.
Before there was call.
The last one.
Before there was people who would call and go on the air.
This guy from Fremont.
Yeah, exactly. Now there's no one calling to get on the air. It's just calling to occasionally call me an asshole. And so it's okay because like before I was worried that Frotcast listeners would start calling and then just like, you know, say like, you know,
that would be the
many.
Best thing that ever happened to you, by the way.
Yeah.
Actually listen to AM radio for a little bit. Who calls you? Do they call you from the past? Like, hey, yeah. I don't like these suspenders. We wore belts and we
it's
like
usually
it.
Crazy. It was
crazy. Hello, days to do with the Charleston.
Hello, I'm trapped in a tesseract. Time has no meaning for me. I seem to be living the same day over and over again. I wish I could die.
And so I run the soundboard. And now, I do talk. I talk on the air, but only a little bit. Like, you know, it's the two hosts talk most of the time, and then occasionally they're like,
"You're like producer Matt."
Weather and traffic?
No. I'm producer. I'm more like
producer Matt. So it's like, hey, producer Matt. What do you think about this? Producer Matt, speaking of the mic.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say that. I couldn't care less.
I'm Matt on the board. You know what? I get paid $15 an hour to be treated like an adult.
What do you get paid?
I get paid 15 marinis an hour.
He's got the gap down now. You're done. He knows what it's going to play.
This is the worst. I'm just trying to justify my paycheck.
Wait, it's $15 an hour every hour or just for 1 hour?
Well, yeah, no. Every day I get 1 hour.
Here's the deal, son. You get $15 between the hours of 9 and 10. After that, you get 15 cents an hour. Four times a day.
Can I just say that the universe and America specifically has gotten very dark when I do a 20s gangster accent and don't acknowledge it and just carry on like my day's going great.
We've broken him. We're just riding him around. He's not even noticing. He's like, oh, I love
I'm,
his new
I'm a donkey now. See, you're riding me around to the
That's
cow.
How it happens. See,
everybody gets a watermelon.
Day 9, San Francisco.
Movies are raccoons.
One day you run
get this
a field,
man a corned beef sandwich.
I'd love a corned beef sandwich.
You run two for a nickel.
Oh, fuck it all.
Yeah.
Fuck it all down the toilet.
Talk 9, Matt on the boards.
Yeah, I am Matt on the board. That's what I
do. Weather and traffic coming up. Top and
so listen to Talk 9:10 between the hours of 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, and you'll hear me sometime.
Oh, that is peak AM radio listening.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, that's like...
That's when we get up. No, it's like...
That's like 8:30. You know, that's prime time for people who still listen to AM radio, right?
I don't really know, actually. I can't really tell. I know the morning for sure.
Are the people in their cars? Where are they calling from? Are they calling...
A lot of... Well, when I was doing 10...
Bunkers.
Mostly
at
10
to 1,
phones?
It was people in their cars.
Bug-out caves.
Well, we don't take a lot of... We don't take calls on the show, so it's... we don't get too many callers.
Do on the boards?
I play the clips. I play the commercials. I throw to the weather. I throw to traffic.
What's the weather like?
It's different every day. That's why we need a guy.
Have you ever tried to work more than 2 hours? What happens?
I work 1 hour before, and then I work 1 hour after. We get all the news stories together. What are we going to talk about? Then we do it for 2 hours, and then afterwards I podcast the episode. I cut out all the commercials and I turn it into a podcast.
Do they like that?
They want that. That's what they were doing before.
But
okay, you guys who didn't see the movie this week, Ben, did you know that only you and I watched the movie this week?
You really watched the whole thing? I did not watch the whole thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, I was going to say, this is looking like a dramatic inversion of rules.
Okay, so it's called Chic. It's about the Iron Sheik.
It wasn't good?
It looked like it was made by junior high kids in 1992.
I will say that I think there was content there. The form definitely had some problems.
It's an interesting story.
Right.
You know, Iron Sheik, a legit wrestling dude from Iran, leaves Iran in a rough time and comes and becomes a WWF superstar. The way it was produced, so the online, however they uploaded it, was through like a 28K modem. So it was very difficult to watch it, and the sound was terrible. And then
modems were what we used before broadband for the
kids. Permanently had the property of Sheik Productions, huge.
Well, that's standard practice for screeners, though.
Yeah, you're getting early access. That's not.
I've seen screeners. It's not usually there the whole time. It'll come and go.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
And then there was this like. Sound like there was a lawnmower or the faucet was running the entire time in the background.
I couldn't tell if that was the movie or just the upload. Like they uploaded it the wrong file or some shit. I don't know.
Either way, it did not enhance the movie experience having that sound the whole time.
That
so,
said, the Iron Sheik, like I enjoy watching. Look, it's the Iron Sheik. Like I'm going to watch things about the Iron Sheik. the thing that they never got into, which I thought was weird, was they go from him being, he's like an Olympic wrestler from Iran. He comes to the U.S. He coaches a college wrestling team. He wins 4 AAU titles in a row. And then he becomes a WWF wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
They never really like explain
why he became a WWF.
Well, okay, there's that's part of it, but there's also a part where he's a really good entertainer. Like you would expect a guy who's like this like Olympic wrestler to maybe like not really know what he's doing or you know, but he just like is this ultimate ham. Like he fucking loves being the villain to the point where people are like throwing bottles and they have to take him out of the arena in an ambulance because people will try to kill him.
I always wonder how people get into pro wrestling.
Right. And it takes a special personality to want to be that kind of heel. We never really understand that part.
Oh, they never get into his background, like he was the heel growing up, or
they just sort of jump right into it. Like he coached this college team. They won back-to-back-to-back-to-back AAU titles, and then he's like, started wrestling.
Tom Emanski. Huh? Do you remember Tom Emanski?
the baseball
those
guy.
Those videos, yeah, back-to-back-to-back AAU national champs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a center fielder that threw the ball from center field into a trash can.
So esoteric.
Okay, so is that...
Fred McGriff, he endorsed it.
Yep, and he had a blank hat with no logo on it.
Yeah, it was the 90s, so he was wearing it just like it was just resting on his head. He wasn't even like wearing it.
Yeah, it was basically like a yarmulke, but as a baseball hat.
Right.
Okay, so is the guy, what is his name? Jim Ross, the wrestling announcer guy. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Jim Ross.
So he's like super famous. Like wrestling people are like, oh my god, Jim Ross is the greatest. Have you seen him talk before? Am I alone in being like it's hard for me to watch him talk because like one side of his face is like
palsy.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird to watch. Like I like to listen to his voice, but when I watch him talk, it's like he's got the droopy mouth. It's hard. It's hard on me.
Laramie had Bell's palsy for a second.
He did.
How's he doing now?
He died.
Oh. That was fast. I hope he's not dead though. That would be I'd for real be sad.
Bell's palsy took him out. One quick swoop.
Fucking Bell.
So I tried to watch it. The production quality made it unwatchable to me, but it is an interesting story. So maybe they can polish that one up and release it again to the masses.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. It's an interesting story.
I wish I had seen the movie so we could...
Poorly done, though.
Talk about
we'll
it.
We'll say.
I couldn't... I mean, there are certain aspects of poorly done, but I couldn't tell if it was poorly done or poorly uploaded because that's a whole... That's not really...
All right, well, one way or the other... But even like the titles and stuff at first
the music, it sounded like they got the royal free like Casio music off
I don't know if the budget was low. I don't know if they just didn't quite know what they were doing, but like the titles, it looked like I think it was called like Video Toaster. I remember I had my dad got something well before the internet that could sort of play around with VCR videotape and overlay stuff. It looked like that. It looked like my first editing equipment.
Yeah,
Starwipe.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of subtitles, things like that. So I did not finish Advance. My apologies. I tried.
Oh, no, it's all right. No one else did. Just me.
I gave it the old college try.
I will say, like, stepping outside of the bad music and poor editing, you know, like, it's hard to make an uninteresting movie about the Iron Sheik.
Right. Yeah. I was stoked to watch it, and then I just completely forgot.
Yeah.
Well, when Gary from Fremont calls 10 to 20 times a day, you got a lot on your plate.
Hey, I'm a busy, busy man, man. I am a busy man. I'm working on my my writing packet. I am writing a lot of things.
Film Drunk. It's amazing.
I know. Well, I'm writing for free now to try and fucking get a writing packet together.
You should definitely write for free instead of writing for the very small amount that we pay you for... You know,
still though,
hundreds of thousands of people.
I'm trying to finish the writing packet, and then I can get back to the film.
Bro, fine. fine.
Honestly,
you don't want to get to be like you don't want to get to 33 like me and be like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm gonna finish that book someday. But I got a lot of posts about fucking Jennifer Aniston's tits to do.
Exactly,
hold on, everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm doing
you have
the
a writing packet.
I'm making a writing packet.
What does that where mean? Does the writing packet
it's
go?
All sticky.
A writing packet is
like
to,
a ravioli.
A writing packet is
like a pocket of good words. Yeah, but you got like pasta
covered in marinara.
It's not a writing pocket. It's a packet.
Do you put your writing packet with marinara, or do you do more like a cream base?
It's not. It's not a pocket. It's not a hot pocket.
Writing, hey, look, white sauce, Alfredo. White wine. All right, you do. That's good. How you do it.
Yeah, you wait till the you steam packet. Them until the clams
is that like
open
sex
up,
packets?
And then you turn the heat up.
If they're already open, you got to throw them out.
Why is everyone shitting on me today?
You got to clean them first though, because they get gritty.
You got to get the gills out.
You don't want to get. You
when you see us backstage, be prepared to G.
All right.
You don't want to get
it's a packet of writing.
You gotta get the gills out.
And the reason to make it is so I could send it out and try and get jobs.
That's, you send it to me?
He's gonna walk around with a briefcase. Oh, I got a writing.
I got this packet writing. Over here. Fuck all y'all.
You guys. Oh,
so I'm a very serious person.
The president of show business picked up my writing packet. Right. Yeah,
excuse me, sir. Would you like a ravioli?
One time I was on the train in Germany, and this guy sitting next to me had a briefcase, and then he pulled it up and opened it, and he had a folded up pair of jeans and a bottle of orange juice.
That guy knows how to party.
So far, that's all that's in my writing bag as well.
That guy has his priorities set. He's like, yeah. Hey, I'm going to do some E, and I'm going to shit my pants.
Yeah. I think that was the briefcase from Pulp Fiction.
I just picture Matt Lieb in his three-piece suit walking with his briefcase, like, oh, I'm going to go get my writing packet done. And then he walks into the coffee shop, he puts it on the table, and he opens it, and there's just potato chips in there. And he starts sadly eating his potato chips.
Then some heck
writing.
Like, you're never going to be a successful writer.
Okay.
Where are you guys from?
I know I wrote a short story recently that is good. All right, fine. You don't have to like anything I do.
Give me the rundown on your writing packet.
Okay, the short story is about a Yorkshire Terrier who vows revenge on the family that tried to have him killed.
Okay.
And it's basically a story about him stalking a family that tried to euthanize him. He doesn't.
Come on.
He didn't know it was euthanasia because he's a dog.
Yeah, he's dumb.
And so they try to kill him, and he escapes, and he's trying to kill his family.
I like that.
Yeah.
But he's probably pretty old, so he's limited in what he can do, right?
He's also dying of cancer, so he's pretty limited in what he can do.
Well, this sounds hilarious.
It's pretty funny. You want me to, I could read you like a paragraph if you want.
No, you don't want my publicity, obviously.
Listen, I'm trying to...
I was going pee. I didn't realize this was a vendetta.
Yeah, apparently
I stepped
is.
In the middle of a vendetta, and I apologize. I apologize to both of you for that.
I will be writing for Film Drunk again very soon, and then we can all reach Schnitzel Bob's better writing.
Yeah. I forgot to introduce Ben.
Oh, hi, guys. How are you?
Who's Ben?
It's Ben.
You know, that's your new intro?
I did not. That, I
it's Ben.
That is amazing.
Thanks, Wakas, for the
soundboard.
Wakas
is the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like all of the Matt Lieb additions to the soundboard.
Oh, did you do a clean coffee yet?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Everybody shut the fuck up.
All right, fine. Clean coffee, going now.
Take one.
Okay, take one. All right, thank you. I am sitting at the edge of the driveway that leads to Master's house. The sky is black.
There's actually a picture of a Yorkie.
And a chilly wind howls justice.
I can see it on his phone.
Master, his wife, Beth, and the boy are in their human beds, tucked under blankets, slowly heating themselves with their own odorous filth, the way humans do. By the way, I'm not going to be your monkey. I'm going to read you my short story.
Yes, we're waiting.
Yeah, we like that.
All right.
You're doing good voices.
Okay.
Yeager.
I've been sitting here for what feels like a million human years waiting for that smell. Stasis. They are finally asleep. If all goes according to plan, they will none of them see another dawn. Not the boy, not Master, nor his salty bitch of a wife. I howl back at the wind and creep along the graveled driveway. Vengeance is mine. It would not be unfair for any human to question my motives, so long as they never question my loyalty. This isn't about loyalty.
Never before on Earth was there a more loyal woof-woof than Admiral Cuddleton I. I was loyal to a fault. It was my loyalty that nearly undid me. You see, loyalty is lauded as a virtue by those who command it. But loyalty isn't a virtue. It's a weapon wielded by the masters who hoard it like so many num-nums.
That's part of the story.
I like that
story. That's a preview.
That story was...
Many.
Wow. Yeah. You had that timing down.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, you did. That was like you knew the delay was going to happen, and you planned it.
I think that story's going to need an audio soundtrack or, you know, audio read from you.
Yeah.
We can make that a bonus broadcast.
Yeah, I could just read the whole thing. Yeah. I'm down to do that.
People liked it when you read the Combot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this idea.
Didn't you haven't you done Gimme Fiction too?
I have not done Gimme Fiction yet. I was supposed to, but then I had to cancel, and then you had to cancel as well. But then I did it later. You did it later.
I don't think that Ivan has
Kevin
put
Smith
mine,
story.
I don't think it was as good enough for him to put it on his podcast. So
really,
I haven't seen it.
I mean, I saw that he just released like Jane Harrison's one. So I
think Space Dating.
Yeah, I think,
yeah, that was the same night Vince did it.
I think he.
Hers was better than mine.
Much better. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's really good.
We'll totally.
Yeah, you'll totally.
I'm fine with that. Hers was definitely much better than mine.
Yeah. No, I haven't done it yet, but I'd rather do it here than fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah, did you guys like the first two paragraphs?
I did.
Yeah, it drones on for a while after that.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And it's called Beg for Mercy.
Oh.
And
sit, beg for mercy.
And it's got the dog.
Yeah, I can see the picture of the dog.
Yeah, it's a
it's not a Yorkshire.
That is not a Yorkshire.
No, that is a Scotch Terrier, I believe.
That is when I Googled Yorkie, that's what came up. Doesn't matter. Right.
So wait, what if you finish your writing packet and then you and Ben are competing for the same?
Oh, and then you never write anything.
Wait, competing for what? What are you talking about?
What if Ben and Matt write books and then Vince remains unbookless?
Writing agent.
Oh, I'm not trying to write a book.
Are you going to fight Ben?
Yeah,
I'm not writing.
Why are you being so antagonistic?
What if you have to drive him off the road when you see him on the road to your agent?
I'm not writing a novel.
You're on like a
what
bridge.
Are you? Well, you wrote a short story. Where's the what's, I think, what's the I packet think for?
The packet is to get TV writing jobs.
I think there's enough room for both of you to coexist with your books, and then Vince,
one of you on the bridge, and one of you driven off
still
the bridge,
just be a dickless loser.
Oh right, because of Vince.
Die, die.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no.
But don't you want to write like spec scripts and stuff?
Yeah. I'm writing a little pilot. But the problem, like, you know, just to, as part of a packet, not to actually make it. It's just to like showcase, so that maybe someday someone will let me write dick jokes for money. I just want to make Damien. Just want to do art.
Just make it like a spoof show.
That's what I was.
Because like, I mean, have you ever watched Brickleberry?
No.
That show can't take more than like 15 minutes to write.
Brickleberry?
It's the Daniel Tosh animated one.
Right? Oh, no.
It's fucking horrendous.
Yeah. But if I bet that the only way that got made was because Tosh was already something.
Yeah, but agents are stupid. Just be like, oh, look, this could be a show. And they're like, that could be a show. Well, someone might pay him for that.
The thing is for the spec script, or not the spec script, for like the original pile or whatever that you write, like chances are you never get to really actually make that.
Right.
It's just so you can.
I'm not telling you to make something good. I'm telling you to do something fast.
Oh, I see. So it's not.
Show them you can just pump it out and be like, oh, yeah, I got lots of pilot ideas.
Oh, okay, tight. Maybe I should do that. First, I got to finish. Anyways, writing is fun.
Ben, what's going on in your life? Are you excited for Jurassic Park? Because I know Brett is.
Really?
It's got it's the dinosaurs turned to robots, and then they.
No, that's Transformers.
Oh, well, the dinosaurs turn into cars, and then they crash into the other cars.
Are you thinking about
also Transformers
again?
I really like
dinosaurs are directed by Jerry Bruckheimer.
Shit,
Star Wars trailer was pretty cool.
Yeah, let's talk about Star Wars.
No,
we already did that.
No,
but let's do it again.
No, not that excited for Jurassic 5. Wait, were is this Jurassic 5? They should call it Jurassic 5, right?
I think this is Jurassic 4.
Yeah.
Right, both the S's are 5s.
But yeah. I am so excited for Jurassic 5.
Hey, how come the dinosaurs are always so mad? Like, you can go pet lions and lions don't eat you. They don't hunt you down as you walk away.
Well, haven't you seen the trailer? This is a new, more angry, genetic, altered dinosaur.
Hunt me down as I walk away.
As I walk away. It's a Weezer.
Watch me unravel.
I'll soon be naked.
Clever girl. I didn't know we were substituting words. I thought we were just going to sing the song.
Clever girl was amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I didn't realize I was supposed to.
Can we just sing the song? Guys.
Hold on to your butts.
Can we just sing the regular song for a little bit? No?
Yeah.
Sure, well, I don't want to. Yeah. Ben, how do you feel about the
best of was waiting for something. What was it waiting for?
I don't know.
Final edit.
It was just
the rough cut.
Wait, you just grabbed it.
This
threw
episode
it up there.
Because we're just fucking blowing.
Wait, so the best of is already out?
Yeah.
Oh, well, at least on Frogcast.com. So
this means that your short story is not going to make the cut this year.
Yeah, fuck.
Listen, Matt, we'll have that as a special one-off. That'll be its own thing.
Yeah. No, I was just looking for the. I was. It's. Oh, it's not on Podbean.
No. Ben leaked it. It's only on the leaked parts.
Wait. Hold on. So does
it's not. It's not the final edit.
Wait. But is it mean? Is it available? Is it available on iTunes?
Till I come undone.
Wait. So the RSS feed goes through just podcast.com.
It's just XML. That's all a podcast is an MP3 with some XML.
Yeah, but how do you
I put it
how do you know the listenership?
I put it on the
internet through frotcast.com.
I write the numbers down. I just photograph the numbers.
I keep track of the amount of
I just post the photograph.
Wait, how often no do we do numbers. How often do we do an RSS feed through frotcast.com?
Never.
No, okay.
That's not how it works.
I do it.
Wait, but you can. No, because I just want to know if
one time I got my RSS feed caught in iTunes, and it just kept going. And
this doesn't do it. He just says
it was choking
it.
Me.
No one's listening.
All right.
No one's ever been listening.
Okay, so the XML
it's just us.
Is through Podbean usually, right?
It's just us.
There's two different ones.
Okay, but we should find out what the numbers for that one are, too.
Your mic's not even plugged in.
Is no one here?
We're not even recording any of this.
His computer is just a picture of a bird. He just taped like a toucan.
You thought that was... it's just a cigar. It's just like a cigar rubber band.
Did you see him hope? Did you see him hope when he thought he was going to get out of doing this by writing?
What's happening?
Yeah. This is like the end of Captain America.
Yeah, this is freaking me out. I feel like I'm on drugs again. Wait, what's happening right now in this instance?
We're in my living room, and you're talking into a cigar, and I got a hairbrush.
There is no spoon.
I'm talking into the hairbrush, but
we're not popping no peas. I'll tell you that much. We got spit guards.
We got spit guards in front of our cigars.
The hairbrushes have popper stoppers.
All right. So, Frotcast.com also has listenership.
Yeah, there's a few reggae horns and it got leaked.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we should.
On Frotcast.com.
I really hope that someone is sitting in a dorm room listening to this right now, just baked out of their minds,
terrifying.
Like wondering what the fuck is happening.
All I want to do is scare a college kid. Just one college kid really frightened.
Yeah.
There's no one there.
The open of the best of is Joe King or Joe Sinclitico's song, which was really good.
Which one? He sings the
In and Out of Your Mom?
Yeah.
Oh.
In and Out of Your Mom.
Stand behind me and guide my butt cheek. Guiding me in and out of your mom.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Stand behind me and push my butt.
So that happened.
Guiding me in and out of your mom.
I know that too many cooks got like fucked out to death on the internet. So many think pieces.
As it
and,
does.
Mm-hmm. And the backlash and the backlash of the backlash. And there was a really trolly salon piece. It was like, why it's problematic. And it was like, just so well done. It was like, you are playing your part.
Wait, about too many cooks?
Yeah, and it was...
That's
it was
problematic?
Like,
Is that the one that Drew linked?
It was glorifying like an 80s upper middle class lifestyle, which is inherently very conservative and hurtful to like progressive.
Are you fucking serious? That's real?
Here's the best part of this is that no one actually works at Salon.
Right.
Right? There's this one robot that they left alone.
Yeah.
And it's gone rampant.
Yeah.
I believe is the...
But I do like to think, as much as it got like kind of fucked out really quickly, I do like to think that there was like a few people who were really fucking high that stumbled upon it and were just like, what is happening?
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, we're not living in the same world as like a college freshman. And that like...
Yeah, because you're still like a... I mean, even through high school, with the full access to the internet and the weird jerking off in your den.
Yeah. Like the problematic bullshit that they're going to read about, you know, on Salon. They don't really give two thoughts to. Mostly it's just people going, you got
to. Even if you have access to the entire plethora of dumb things the internet offers, like it doesn't mean you have the time to absorb it.
Exactly. Because
high school kids got to study. So like college, they're like, shit, all I have to do is jerk off and maybe go to Com 104 Intro to Human.
Did you want me to read you why that was problematic?
Yeah.
No, a little bit.
Just, I think it's good.
Come on. It's
so bad.
It's
in tweet form, so it's all right, I figured out what bugs me about Too Many Cooks. It's clever and funny, but something seemed kind of rotten about it. The 70s, 80s sitcom was a deeply conservative form that used the American family to reinforce broadly acceptable norms and stereotypes. For a culture which was largely founded on murder and greed everywhere, but in the wood-paneled American living room. So what Too Many
wood
Cooks does...
Were a little weird.
What does Too Many Cooks do that is problematic?
What Too Many Cooks does is make the implicit explicit, which feels more than anything like explaining a joke. Hence, clever, but
Whoa!
Motherfucker, here's my problem with these... you're right, we should have never done this. That person who wrote that... I feel like these people, it's like...
That person who wrote that sticks his dick through his Y front jockey shorts to fuck.
That's his wife. His wife is his underwear. I fucked my underwear. And I'm sorry.
I feel like some people need to be like, I will never be clever, and that's okay. That's all they need to be. Like, all these guys who write these think pieces are like, they're just so not okay with the fact that they're never going to be clever that they just like to shit on anyone who is clever.
Oh, that's him?
Let me see.
It's a different think piece. Different think piece.
Oh, is that him?
It's a different think
piece. That's him?
No, it's a different think piece. No, but it's an equally annoying think
read
piece.
Read us
but
this.
But wait, thing. Is no, that the same author, though?
I'm glad you guys are back.
What does he look like?
Because I can't do the thing where it's just like, here's the thing that'll annoy Brett. Let's see how he responds.
So I just
muffle my screams.
Turn Brett's mic off.
I'd argue that today's absurdity seems to be responding to our age of infinite information and the cultural hangups that come with it. Unwarranted nostalgia, anxiety over the fact that your boring life isn't enough. How easy it is to fake a slick professionalism, but wherever you locate its focus, it's hard not to see how close it's getting to its own tail. Too Many Cooks isn't going quite that far, but when Weird has a set wardrobe, it's obvious we're getting close.
God, fuck.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Oh my God.
But it's letting them win.
Yeah, no, that's
the
true.
The fact that we fucking responded to this piece of shit.
Oh, whatever.
Well, I'm just going to say, I don't think any of that made any fucking sense.
Fuck you! Yeah.
Plus, the whole first paragraph is like, hey, here's something I've been working on for 4.5 years. Yeah. And then, like, the next paragraph is like, so Too Many Cooks isn't that, but...
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's also a lot of think pieces are just... They just sort of spew thoughts out, and you get to the end of it, and you're like, oh, you realize they were just like wrestling with themselves about what they thought about something, and they never came to a conclusion.
It came from my drafts folder.
Here's
all these think pieces should just be, nah, I don't know, guys, and that's it. Right, that should be the entire fucking article.
That's what problematic means. That's exactly what problematic
think piece potato.
Jesus Christ.
Problematic actually means meh, I don't know, guys.
Here's the fucked up thing, is that
they fucked the essay. The essay is interesting, where you have an interesting person having an interesting opinion on an interesting subject. And they're like, why don't we do that, but not be interesting, and pick something dumb, and then say only dumb things about it.
Yeah. You should write a think piece about
it. I will!
Like that's like sixth grade essay form.
Yes! It's
like thesis and support.
Yes, it's not hard!
I don't even know what Too Many Cooks is.
You know what? You should check it out. It's pretty fucking funny. But it's a little problematic.
Yeah.
I read this thing.
That's it in a nutshell. It's pretty funny. It's a little
problematic. But the problem is, it's not at all problematic. You have to really stretch to make something problematic out of it.
Oh, God. Yeah. You have to sit
there. It's an 11-minute comedy sketch making fun of the intro of sitcoms.
All right,
you have to sit there as a writer for 4 hours not having anything important to say to come up with an essay about how Too Many Cook, like having anything to say. Take it as it is and shut the fuck up.
So I have an idea.
Oh, Salon Robot.
All right, so what we do, we start a band. It's called Problematica.
Okay.
You guys shred on guitar, and I sing like James Hetfield, and we just sing some think pieces.
I'm going to be all like, ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
Sing! 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 Sing, James Hetfield! Yeah! Give me fuel, give me fire, give me dabba dabba da! Problematic.
Oh, they're not going to know how funny it is without seeing Matt Leib drumming.
It's really hard.
It looks like a monkey banging cymbals together.
It's like that Chris Cunningham video for the Aphex Twin song.
You know, the word monkey is kind of problematic. Did you guys read this article in the Daily Beast calling out Hannibal Buress for, what do you call it, contributing to rape culture with the joke that he did.
That's some good backlash to the backlash.
It was amazing. Yeah. The greatest thing about it was they were like, obviously, you know, Cosby, it was good that he called out Cosby, but let's not forget that Hannibal Buress has also contributed to rape culture. And I was like, dude, there's a big difference between contributing to rape culture and raping 20 people. Like, that is the biggest understatement in the world to say that. And that's when I almost just, like...
That's when I reached for my revolver.
Like, that's the equivalent to people who are, like, just smart enough to know that they can't overtly, like, say that they should nuke all the black people in
Missouri. Yeah, right, yeah.
So they're like... Well, why are they even protesting this when there's so much other stuff?
Yeah, right. Protesting? That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. They're like, oh, yeah, well, no one says anything when other things happen. So no one should ever say anything. There's problems in society.
I wonder what my neighbors think.
Man, I casually... this is a small sample size,
stop,
but like,
just stop it.
The evidence is piling up where there was that Deadspin video of like the people protesting outside the Cardinals game, and they just get shouted down by a bunch of white people yelling like USA and pull your pants up.
Yeah.
And then like this one guy.
You know, there was a Redskins rally in San Francisco like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
Where a bunch of white people go dress up like Indians to cheer on.
Oh, that's a pretty
cool hill to die on.
I'm really excited for the full-on return of fascism.
But there's like there was
boots
that.
On my neck.
And then I work with someone really from Missouri, and I'm like, hey, shit's going down in your hometown right now. And he's like, yeah, they should nuke them all. And I was like... Okay.
Not what I meant.
I'm going to go get some coffee.
Yeah,
man.
This is like elevator banter, by the
hold
way.
On, so hold on, hold on.
All right.
Curfew.
Man, that place is fucked up.
Yeah, let's not.
Holy shit.
I don't have anything beneficial to say other than holy shit, that is some hopeless garbage.
Like, there's so many people who are like calling for five people from the Rams to be fired, to get cut and lose their jobs for doing the hands up thing.
Living in a comfortable world where we have to deal with Salon as the like the most annoying thing makes you forget about how many batshit garbage racists
getting choked to death.
Like that there are like genuine, full on old school piece of shit human beings left running in the wild.
And then he said he would not do anything different. I think that's like, I mean, that's the one small step, like maybe after you kill someone who's unarmed, maybe like express regret afterwards. Mm-hmm. Could that be a very small baby step we could take.
Every day is a new day.
Guys, I gotta take a lift and get out of here.
You really have that Chobani Bernie, huh?
I got that mean.
He doesn't like Uber.
Yeah, no, I don't fuck around with Uber. Everyone knows Uber is problematic. It's true. I've read a lot about it recently.
Where's your 1.5 times size bicycle?
It's at home because of the rain.
Also, the brakes are super squeaky.
Yeah, they are still squeaky. Yeah. I went to the bike shop and I said, can you fix the squeak? And then they're like, yeah, we did. I paid them money. Did not fix the squeak.
No, you can't fix the squeak.
You can't. I don't think
brakes just squeak, yo.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
All right, Joe.
All right.
Well, I can't wait to listen to you on Talk 9.
Talk 9, 10 a.m.
It's the ninth channel. You have to get up past 8.
Yeah, that's true.
Spend it, Chobani mean.
Can we get a clean coffee?
Coffee.
Nice.
You didn't even do it good.
Let me do it good.
But better.
Hold on. Coffee. No, that's bad. Now I'm like, terrible. Hold on.
You're overthinking it now.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Hold on.
Percy Meany.
So I'm going to do it. Percy Meany. Percy Meany. Coffee. 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 I can't do I don't think I ever said Yeager. I don't think I ever said Coffee.
Yeah, you did. Anyway, that's cool. All right, well, we can put this one to bed.
So then we drink the coffee.
Then we drink the coffee.
First we get the Chobani Mernie, then we drink the coffee.
Yeah, just use that coffee. That was a better coffee than me.
We've devolved into self-fine stars.
Where did that even start? I didn't hear the origin of Mernie.
It's because I put my French press down as I said Percy.
Yeah,
Percy.
All right, I'm going to get my lift. Hey, guys.
Hey, Matt, say hi to Gary from Fremont for me. I miss him.
I will. Me too.
I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, me too.
ISIS is coming for me.
I know I'll see you again, this side or the other.
Yeah.
What? Because he's leaving.
Meanie.
All right. Well, gentlemen, it was fun. Happy Bon Jovi Friday. You can check out the leak. The leak of the best of. Maybe it'll get re-edited. Who knows? Frogcast.com.
Ben.
Yeah.
It's Ben.
Thanks for coming on.
Do I have an outro now or not?
Well, that was it.
It's Ben.
I like it.
Stand up for Liza.
All right. Brendan, you want to take us on out of here?
Sure. Do I get a bishop look at this?
Get a what?
Bishop, look at this!
Oh, right.
I think that's you, right?
It is.
That was great. That
was very meta.
So
this is just like the audio version of us like sucking our own dicks.
Yeah. Just I love it though. That's like, tight.
Unk, 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 yeah. Wonk, glock,
wonk, my wonk. Dick tastes like shit.
Ben, thanks for coming on. Anything you want to pump?
No, just go to frogcast.com. I got another book coming out in a few weeks. And, if you want to find me on the Twitters.
Is that the cancer one?
Yeah, it is.
What's it called?
Diary of a Uniballer.
Nice.
Nice.
Finishing editing, that it should be out in a few weeks.
Sweet. Matt, anything for you?
Nothing. Just, living that life. I just did a little web commercial for PayPal Mini, and you guys can catch that on the web.
Fuck you. PayPalMini.com.
It's not out yet. I mean, it may not come out. I got paid so Mini.
Up front?
Yeah.
Nice.
Not up front. Not at all. I lied.
It's on PayPal. They're terrible service. This is not hard.
You got to hold it for 30 days.
No, yeah, I'm not plugging anything. Just living life.
What about you, Brendan? You got anything to plug?
No.
No?
Nothing.
Oh.
My boring, boring life.
Oh, how's that going?
Boring. It's boring. Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, thanks for listening as always. Vince, what is the Google Voice number? Were one inclined to leave us a voicemail?
415-275-0030.
That's excellent. I'll never remember that in a million years. And then you can email us at frogcast@gmail.com. So thanks for listening. And until next week, good night and good chins.